Christian Coffins. Today is a very impromptu episode with the lovely Emmy Frost. She's back, and we might be getting a couple more guests here. I don't have a very good microphone, and the compressor is off, baby, so today is going to be winging it, shooting from the hip. We have a lot to talk about, no clips. How are you doing, Emmy?
Did you just call me baby?
Sometimes I call you Miss Frost. I like Miss Frost. It has such a good sound to it.
Oh, thanks. Not to be confused with Emma Frost, you know, in Marvel Comics or DC Comics or whatever it is. Oh, I'm the Invisible Lady. I'm on the back porch. Say that again. I can't hear you.
What was her special power?
Who, Emma? Emma Frost, I think she shot, like, diamonds or something, or I don't know. I forget. It was in one of those movies, you know.
I gotta check.
Logan.
Emma Frost. Yeah, the internet. Let's do this. So
yeah,
how's your week?
It says that she's from a rich Boston family, just like me.
Oh, here we go. Emma Grace Frost is a fictional character appearing in the American comic book published by Marvel Comics, most commonly associated with the X-Men. The character first appeared in the Uncanny X-Men of 129 and was created by writer Chris Claremont, blah, 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 blah. Didn't say anything about her powers. She has a cool look. She's like a she has this, like, it's kind of like a white storm, actually.
Yeah, like white as in Caucasian. Not to be confused that she wears all white.
Okay. It's a cool look. Didn't know about that one. But anyways, I wanted to definitely talk about, I just saw the Kevin Spacey arraignment. Have you seen that yet?
No, because I don't have a TV anymore.
Oh,
that
right.
Was back on Cape Cod. You know that was on Cape Cod, right? That's where I grew up, mostly.
Right. Yeah, that's a very interesting location for that. I mean, I guess that's where the allegations originated from, I assume.
Yeah, it was on Nantucket, which is considered Cape Cod and the islands. So Kevin Spacey was arraigned in front of District Attorney, I think it's Michael O'Keefe, who happens to be one of my mother's friends, according to her. He was a DA when I sued my parents back in 92-93 for incest and child porn and all that other stuff. But anyway, yeah, it's the same district attorney. I find that kind of funny after 30 blah, blah, blah years. He was ready to put me in prison once, but that's a whole nother story.
Oh, geez. Well, maybe, get into some of that today. So USA Today, Judge rules Kevin Spacey must appear for an Nantucket arraignment. He will plead not guilty for sex crime charges. Of course, this is the star from American Beauty and Netflix's House of Cards. Kevin Spacey must appear in person at his arraignment next week to face a felony sex crime charge of groping a teenage boy in a Nantucket bar, a judge ruled Monday. The same day, Spacey indicated he would plead not guilty. It was pretty interesting because when I was watching it, you get like a really, if you look at it right before it starts, like right after they walk in, he's talking to his lawyer, and his lawyer whispers something in his ear, and I don't know what the joke was, but they were both cracking up for like a split second, and then they had to, like, you could tell their eyes were shifting around. They had to mentally re-prepare to, oh, yes, that's right. We have to have a somber face on here. And they allowed, from what I understand, some sort of motion. It was some Latin phrase that meant that the next hearing he didn't even have to appear to, but he would just have to be available to phone in case they had any questions for him or something.
They do that for special people, because my ex-husband that works at the NSA, he doesn't have to appear in court. He just has to call in. I'm like, well, how come I have to drive all the way the fuck downtown? Like, seriously. But no,
yeah,
the whole thing in Cape Cod is fucked up because the boy, the 18-year-old boy, his mother is a newscaster for the local Boston station. Actually, it might be Cape Cod station. Yeah. So he's like, his mom's famous, you know, on Cape Cod in Boston. So, yeah, the whole thing's going to be fucked up. Because I thought that Kevin was in hiding, Kevin Spacey. That's what his brother said on Inside Edition. And his father was a Nazi. I think that's what they said. But anyway, yeah.
So I haven't heard that one. See, Kevin Spacey's father, Nazi.
Does it say that? Nazi star, Mazzy star?
Illuminati confirmed. Kevin, here we go. Dailymail.co.uk. Kevin Spacey's father was a Nazi child rapist, brothers say.
What?
So again from the... Yeah, that's
wow.
Daily Motion. Let's see. It's syndicated by news.com.au, which is blah, whatever. Okay, independent.co.uk. Sexually abused. Telegraph.co.uk. So definitely a lot. The Brits are talking about this. It's kind of interesting.
Isn't that? That's crazy. Maybe that's why he is the way he is.
Well, I mean, it's systemic. You see it every time. I was watching on Netflix last week. They have this Inside of the Mind of the Psychopath with this like psychologist, and they took a bunch of case studies. It was a BBC thing, and they took a bunch of case studies. And they have videos of everything from child molesters to murderers to rapists, just sitting down telling their stories. And they were kind of like analyzing their behavior and this and that. And when they had the child rapist on, sure enough, he was like, yeah, Dad used to like rub his dick in my face. And that was the only time he was ever nice to me. Other than that, it was like, you know, go motor.
Disgusting.
I knew he was going to say some shit like that because it's the same thing. Paul Benassi and all these other, you know, it's a sad, vicious cycle, mostly with males. I find more females I come across, it's not the case. But something about demasculating a male homosexually against their will when they're, you know, too small to really stop it or defend themselves, it fucking some... psyches are not strong enough and they just have to, you know, repeat the cycle in order to, you know, take back that control. And it's a fucking vicious sickness, and that's why it has to be stopped.
Oh my God, you're so right. That's exactly perfect. That's 100% true. I know. I was just thinking about that earlier. Wow. My mind's like totally blown.
Awesome.
Oh, that's because I smoke
so
much weed.
Well, so it makes everything a little louder.
I'm using one of those voice changer things like little kids use. Is my voice echoing?
It
looks like a microphone. It looks like one of those microphones.
It's just kind of spooky during this transmission. Use that thing because it works.
Really? It reminds
yeah.
me of the damned, you know, the damned video where like Captain Sensible is inside the castle and he looks like Dracula, but he always looks like Dracula. Well, that video is very symbolic of like the Catholic Church and the abuse and everything. I don't know. You have to watch it. I think it's Panthers and Ascoria, but it might be something else.
Yeah, yeah. There's also the Netflix. I mean, it's interesting because, like, supposedly Barack Obama is on the board of directors of Netflix now, and that's why you're seeing a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
He's on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Jerry Seinfeld one of the seasons, like, recently. And but it's interesting because, meanwhile, you have Netflix.
No soup for you. Remember that guy, No Soup for You? On
nope.
Seinfeld, you know, the soup blank.
Yeah.
The soup blank blanket.
yeah. But you can say Nazi on the air. Nazi. But it's funny because Netflix is coming out with this documentary. Oh, what is it called? It's out already. It's a mini series in Spanish about how the Catholic Church is, you know, there's this adult men that used to be altar boys like 30 years ago that, like, it's like the Hindu movement in Spanish, and they're talking about just the most heinous, and it's not just sex. It's like a big thing about it is it's not just sex.
I'm just kidding. I said, are they sexy? You know, like Latin guys down in Miami. I want to know. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say
that. They seem very prudent. They seem very, like, and that's interesting, too, because it's a very repressive society, and it's not your, like, Cancun, you know, like, you know, cuties or anything like that. Like, yep.
Now, what is Obama doing for Netflix? I didn't understand what the... Oh, board of directors or something?
Yeah, let's see. I'm going to type Netflix Obama. See what I get. That's cool. I got a bunch of tabs already to talk about.
I wonder what percent of the royalties I get. Probably negative zero. Since
okay.
He's like my ninth cousin.
Fortune.com. Ooh, this is Netflix user threatened boycott over Obama content deal from Fortune.com. Netflix partners with Barack and Michelle Obama for series and films. USA Today, coming to Netflix, the Obama signed deal to produce shows. New York Times. They're transitioning out of the executive branch and getting into the propaganda industry is what it seems like.
Sounds important.
They announced on Monday a multi-year production deal with Netflix in which he and the former First Lady Michelle Obama will produce television shows and films for the streaming service.
Michael Robinson, you mean?
Michael Robinson, who's that?
That's Michelle Obama, because she's trans. Didn't you hear Joan Rivers say that before she was murdered? Yeah, she said that we already have a trans in the White House. Or maybe she was talking about Obama. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm
I don't
only
know.
A cousin. Oh, okay. I don't know what his penis looks like. Sorry. He's my cousin. But then again, who knows? Maybe I saw it when I was a kid. Sorry. I'm in a weird friggin' mood.
Yeah, you sure are, but I'll take it. Okay, so Fortune.com says some Netflix users aren't too happy about the streaming provider's newly announced deal with former President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama to produce original content for the service. After the deal was announced on Monday, a growing number of users have said they'll cancel their Netflix subscriptions and call on others to do the same. The users who continue to express their displeasure with the deal on Twitter have also posted screenshots of their Netflix cancellation confirmation pages. So it seems like a lot of people are against this. And, of course, I'm sure everyone in the left side of the aisle will be like, Orange Man bad. It's, you know.
I love that term.
Tiki torch, Nazi, the alt-right documentary that's out there on Netflix that actually just came out, too, that was another pretty interesting one. It had, like, the Proud Boys founder, Gavin, whatever the hell his name is, co-founder of Vice Media until they kicked him out, apparently. I have a theory about, you know about the Proud Boys and all that shit? Have you been catching up with that?
Yes, I know about them because I'm, like, a member of, like, the three percenters and all them. So, yeah, I used to be a neo-Nazi skinhead back in the day. I still have a swastika tattoo on my arm. But, yeah, people don't want to hear about that shit. But anyway, I was part of the American Front in San Francisco back in, like, the mid-1980s. That's a white supremacist gang. But anyway,
They like throwing up gang signs. I always found that funny. Did you ever, like, throw
well,
gang
the
signs?
Yeah, I know gang signs. But, yeah, the Proud Boys are considered to be white supremacists. That's what they said on CNN. So they got banned off Twitter and all that, you know. It's fucking ridiculous.
People inside the organization, I've interviewed them and stuff, and I've talked to black members and Hispanic members. That's not the case. They are misogynists. They believe that a woman's place is in the kitchen. They admit to, like, misogyny.
Oh, wow, really? What if I'm trans? Do I get to, like, ride motorcycles and stuff?
That's my thing about all these groups, is that the more we create little groups and have little fucking rules and shit, the harder it's going to be for us all to get together, work together, and the common goal of destroying the 1%, and the common goal of destroying the elite. I will work with blacks, gays, Jews, transgenders, you know, homosexuals, you know, anybody but pedophiles, because we're all just fighting the pedophiles. You know, I will work with any. I don't care, you know, where in Orlando. And it's like, it seems like the LGBT community in Orlando have a really thick head, where we've even had the Sacred Owls logo as a rainbow, and we're like, unity, let's get together, after Pulse, of course, and stuff like that, because we're like, you know, we have people that are, you know, supporters of our show and on Eternal Affairs Media, you know, the station we're on now, good friends of ours. You know, they're evangelical Christians, and they believe that homosexuality is an abomination, and they believe all these things. And it's like, again, like, I personally, I'm like, you know, consenting adults, I don't, you know, I guess you could call me more liberal or progressive in that, you know, arena. I'm a libertarian.
Yeah, me
just,
too. I agree.
You know, but I think whatever adults do consentingly on their own free time is their own business, with the exception of elected officials. And this is a big caveat, that if you are elected into public office, you have pretty much given up your right to privacy, and everything you need to do has to have full transparency. So there's no such thing as being in a secret society if you're an elected official. You cannot give secret oaths to secret deities and secret proceedings if you're an elected official. You don't get to do that.
Yep.
And
I hear what you're saying.
You know, and I don't understand. And if we can all agree on these basic terms, I don't care if you're left, right, center, you know, gay or homophobic or religious or anti-theist or anything, can we just all agree on basic human rights and fundamentals, that anyone who is praying after, you know, minors, after children, get rid of them. You know, one strike and you're out, send shock and fear into the hearts of all of them, and then every other crime. You know, I was talking earlier this weekend about the concept of what if we didn't even have judges? Imagine if we had prosecutors and defendants, a jury of your peers, that maybe have a higher sort of clearance, where they have to take a lot of tests and be really qualified to be a juror. You have to have some sort of background in psychology, you know, sociology, or maybe even, you know, different fields, have an engineer in there, have a biologist, have different fields of study, but you have to not be a degenerate, you know, not just like, I don't want you as a juror on a murder trial, dude. I'm sorry, you know?
Totally, I understand that.
You have the defendants, you have the prosecutors, right? And then the jury now has the job of getting all of the, you know, everyone presents all of the information to the jury, and I want them to take like a week and really like work on arguments and, you know, devil's advocate within the jury and stuff, and then come back not just with a verdict, but with a comprehensive breakdown on how they got that verdict. I mean, if we do something like that, now I need a judge, because a bunch of drunks get DUIs all the time.
And all children need a guardian ad litem. It's a child's advocate. And we don't have enough of them in, you know, York County. When I had a child custody trial with my ex-husband, my children didn't get any kind of advocate. So, you know, that's really important, too, when, you know, a lot of children are going through trials and stuff for being molested or raped, and it's really hard. You know, I shouldn't have to even do that. But I have seen some proceedings, you know, on different documentaries, and it just makes me cry, like, every single time, you know. So we need more people that are going to advocate for children, not CPS, you know, Child Protective Services. All they do is more harm than good, you know, from my experience with the foster care system. But, you know, I just feel that our justice system is completely fucked. I've been to prison, like, I don't know how many times already, arrested for things I never did. I got charged with swearing twice in York County. No, I think that was Adams County, so that's near Gettysburg. Like, seriously, it's near Gettysburg, and I'm getting charged with swearing. Like, really? I had to pay a $200-something fine, too. I mean,
did it
that's
make
fucking ridiculous.
Did it make you eat a bar of soap?
No, my mom used to make me do that when I swore
really?
In Japanese. Yeah, I'm not kidding. She did. It was ivory soap. It was horrible tasting.
Funny story from my position of privilege. When I heard that some parents made their kids do that, like I saw it in the movie. I think I saw it in A Christmas Story, actually. And, you know, when I was a little kid, I got curious, so I'm like, what would that even taste like? So I actually bit a bar of soap. I took one for the team, and it's gross. If someone made me, like, actually, like, now, here's the thing. Do any parents, like, make them swallow the soap? I mean, could that kill you?
She swallows cum everywhere she goes. You know that song?
No.
Wait, I think I said that wrong. It's from some metal band.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, Nick always talks about it, but that's a whole other story.
Soap kill you.
Soap can't kill you. I thought you were going to say you were going to talk about the part in the movie where the kid puts his tongue on the thing and it gets frozen. Onto the pole, you know that part.
Yeah, he says fuck
at recess
and make him eat soap.
Oh my god, soap actually tastes good sometimes. Like when I get it in my mouth when I'm taking a shower.
What kind of soap to eat?
It's got to be the gold dial because that's what they use in prison, and I just miss prison so much.
It's nostalgic.
And then I smell like a man when I go out into the yard, and all the girls are, like, looking at me weird. I'm like, I'm straight. I swear I'm not trans.
But you just said you were trans. You're contradicting yourself. I have contradictory sound clips on you.
They put me down as trans at the prison. I was a trans illegal immigrant, and they're going to deport me to Mexico. I am not kidding. They said I was trans. It says him and his on all my court papers.
You should have said, you should have looked and said, did you just assume my gender?
Well, if I'm trans and I like men, what does that make me? Like, I don't get it. Like, am I a girl? Am I a cisgender? Or because I'm a woman, right? I mean, I don't have a penis. I mean, everybody knows that, right? I mean, I guess I'm in some porn movies. I don't know. I'm like Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton. Ah! But anyway, yeah, you got to stop me because I could just go on and on.
Oh, I know you can. Guardian at Litem, is Guardian appointed to the by the court to represent the interests of infants, the unborn, or incompetent persons in legal action. Guardians are adults who are legally responsible for protecting the well-being and interest of their ward, who is usually a minor. A guardian ad litem is a unique type of guardian in the relationship that has been created by a court order only for the duration of a legal action. I always like, you know, shooting out these definitions, you know, when we mention stuff like that, because a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, I've heard that. What is that thing? I'll never look it up. You know, trying to get in the habit
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, well, I studied law on my own because I was just interested in, like, criminology and, like, why do people do the things they do. And when I was in grad school, I got to get go to a prison and they taught me gang signs. And then I asked the police department in my area if they had any, like, pamphlets about gang signs. And they gave me, like, a booklet that was all stapled together with, like, every gang sign from, like, every gang in, like, all the United States, including stuff, like, I've never heard of, like, the Oriental Boys, you know, obviously Aryan Brotherhood, you know. I don't think we talked about MS-13 back in the 80s, but, you know, Latin Kings and, you know, all those kinds of gangs, the Black Guerrilla Family, DMI, Death Murder Incorporated, you know, Hammer Skins. I mean, you could just go on and on because every city, every, you know, area down here at least, there's gangs everywhere. And if you walk on the wrong friggin' street in New York City, Pennsylvania, yeah, you could get shot or stabbed. So it's you know, it's real. I feel bad for the people of the city because, you know, the police are pretty much all white. They got the token black guy on my department in York Area Regional Police Department. But, you know, it's so messed up. I mean, we got the KKK here, you know. I mean, I go to their diner and eat in their diner and shit. But, you know, it's just makes me sad. It makes me sad that so many people are, you know, going to jail and all that just because of the color of their skin. You know, it just fucking makes me sad. So that's my whole thing on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and what really bothers me, I think, at this point, equally, is that we have people, we have millions and millions of people on the outside, worldwide, that are being fed this spun propaganda by the mainstream media, the same five companies that are all controlled by members of the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, and all these interest groups, Ted Turner, you know, to Bohemian Grove.
Well,
and all
he
of
was
the
married to Hanoi Jane, you know, Jane Fonda. She went to my sister's school, Emma Willard in Troy, New York. They're having a sex stamp scandal at Jane Fonda's old school where my sister graduated in 1989. It's called the Emma Willard School for Girls. Now, when my sister went there, she went to a male teacher's house to drink alcohol, and the guy was like 28, and she was like 14, 15. And then now they're all coming out, and these girls are saying they were raped by male teachers at that school. So, you know, that needs to be broadcast out there, too, because not, you know, every time there's a little small scandal at a rich school or whatever, because it costs $65,000 a year to go there for tuition. That's not even including, like, room, board, food and all that. And they film movies at Emma Willard, like Scent of a Woman with Al Pacino. And that guy that played played Robin in Batman and Robin, Chris O'Donnell, who's on NCIS Los Angeles. Yeah, they filmed all those movies. They filmed Toy Soldiers there with Corey, Feldman. I think he was in that movie. And he was, of course, in Stand By Me. And he's a victim and a survivor of sexual abuse by Hollywood, you know, executives and everything. And I actually found out who one of his abusers was. And he fled to Mexico, and then I found him on Facebook, and I harassed the fuck out of that guy and told everybody about it, and then we got him kicked off of Facebook. Then we called his family and fucking, like, you know, said, why are you harboring fucking a pedophile that, you know, abused Corey Feldman and Corey, you know, there was all these other actors, like River Phoenix, I think, was there, and people like that, and the guy, he was on, I think, Twitter, and then I tweeted him, and I tweeted John Podesta, and I was like, you are a fucking sick bastard, and then I didn't even get banned that time. You know, I mean, that guy is like a goddamn vampire. I mean, have you ever seen his teeth, John Podesta? I mean, he's sitting there, like, on those YouTube tapes, like, I'm your daddy, like,
yeah,
what the fuck is his problem?
Pull that up.
Say that again?
Yeah, if I can pull that video up in a second. It's in it's on darkdocs.com, and I believe Pizzagate part two, John Podesta, Comet Ping Pong, and the WikiLeaks emails. That video is really shocking. Actually, I was just at a wedding 2 days ago with a lot of other people in the Intel community, and I had the groom, him and I were talking, and he actually bought on the dark web a whole collection of a lot of those videos that some of them are said to be of Hillary Clinton and this and that. Of course, a lot of them are very dark, very grainy, but like these are like the original like cell phone MP4s of these videos, and that's one of them. So it's part of a larger set of videos that like people
it's
are
about John Podesta.
Hold on, yeah. I'm stepping outside. I'm gonna smoke a cigarette, but keep going.
Yeah, so moving on, or going back to, so I have all these tabbed out before we move forward to stuff on the Dark Docs Network. By the way, anybody that, people are like, why are you on Facebook? You should be doing this kind of stuff on Twitter. We're on Twitter, too, twitter.com/darkdocs, D-O-T-C-O-M. And we post the same stuff on both networks, but we get a lot more traction on Facebook. And it's not an echo chamber. It's people from all different walks and perspectives that are just joining our Dark Docs network and going through as part of our segments and stuff and reading the stuff that I find interesting that other people post. Some of it even we end up downloading and uploading to darkdocs.com for our permanent archives.
Suspension today. Isn't today February 10th? I'm supposed to be off Facebook for suspension, but I got no fucking internet in my house. So sorry, ooh, fans. No. I have almost 5,000 friends. Wow, I'm so friggin' honored. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I mean, most of them are Trump supporters, you know.
That fucking thing, because the and here I go. The owner of our network, Eternal Affairs Media, Ray or Curtis, he lost his with about 5,000 friends, and now he's on the Ray account. The Curtis one, after 10 years, got blocked like this past week. So you know, and I keep getting notifications. I'm like, oh, you can't share this, you can't do that, and I'm print screening him
because
just complaints. It's the most unusual, outrageous stuff. But nonetheless, we have about 5 or 6 people joining the Dark Docs Network on Facebook.
Oh,
practically.
Wow.
So it's doing great. So keep joining and keep submitting stuff because we notice you and you are part of the network. But before we get to that, I want to wrap up with Kevin Spacey because, I never heard of this, what you mentioned, but this is dailymail.co.uk exclusive. Kevin Spacey's father was, quote-unquote, a Nazi child rapist who hated Jews and sexually abused his own son for years, and their mother knew, claims actor's brother. Kevin Spacey's older brother, Randolph Fowler, was speaking out about their abusive father exclusively on dailymail.com.
I've seen interviews with him, and he's totally legit. Like, totally. He was trying to find his brother for the friggin' police because he was hiding out in the Cook Islands or Paris, France, or L.A. where they had that video of him, like, molesting a fucking kid in an alley. I saw that on YouTube. I think Jordan Sather might have put it up. But he got banned, too, from destroying the illusion. You know, everyone's getting banned. You know, censored, shadow banned, all that. I mean, what is this, Red Dawn? I mean, seriously.
It's more like Brave New World, I think. But
Brave New World, wasn't that with Colin Farrell? He's fucking hot. No, just kidding. hi, Colin.
Thanks. You can say that. But Kevin Spacey, of course, is facing allegations of trying to seduce actor Anthony Rapp when he was 14 years old and sexually assaulting a relative of Heather Unruh. I guess is how you say that. Fowler, 62, claims that their father, Thomas Jeffrey Fowler, was a Nazi and would rape Fowler throughout his adolescence, and that his mother knew of the abuse. Fowler said, "There was so much darkness in her home, it was absolutely miserable. Kevin tried to avoid what was going on." The Rod Stewart impersonated limo driver claims that he personally didn't have children, so they wouldn't inherit, quote-unquote, the sexual predator gene from his father.
Yeah.
This is looking bad.
Yeah.
The older brother to...
My brother got that gene.
What?
I said my brother got that gene from my dad, who got it from my grandmother, I believe, because she was a fucking, like, Nazi. I'm not kidding. I mean, she hated fucking Japanese people. She called them Japs. So I guess, you know, my grandmother's rolling over in her grave right now, according to my dad in a letter he wrote to my mother during their divorce, because, if she ever knew he married a Jap, you know, Jewish American princess / dragon lady, which is what he used to call my mom, or a Mongoloid, because we're Mongolian, part Mongolian and Japanese, Russian and Scottish and English. So, yeah, it's Kevin Spacey's brother. I would watch the YouTube videos. Like, it's friggin' scary. Scary fucking shit. Like,
people can search for that is a Kevin Spacey Ali. I guess assault.
I think he was wearing a baseball hat, like a red baseball hat, and they were like molesting a Mexican kid that they kidnapped or something. It was fucking scary.
I'm sure I can't just find it on a regular search. I'll search for it later.
Yeah, I've been blocked on YouTube from a lot of stuff lately. So.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they say I can't watch certain videos and it's banned in another country, but I'm in the USA. So if it's banned in, like, fucking North Korea, why can't I watch it? Like, I'm getting all this North Korean stuff on my YouTube now, like pop singers and shit. I'm like, wow, it's almost like that movie with Seth Rogen and that other guy, James Franco, you know, that one. Oh, maybe we shouldn't talk about it because they'll, like, you know, hack into Sony. Hi, Kim Jong-un.
That's right. Yeah, something I found pretty interesting right here. It mentions the older brother of the famed actor claims that Spacey had no feelings and retreated into acting as an escape from the problems at home. Spacey also claimed to not recall the incident with rap and has issued an apology of sorts for what would have been an inappropriate drunken behavior. When I was watching the arraignment today, I mean, just really looking into his face, it's chilling. I mean, I just finished those the Ted Bundy tapes, and very similar things going on as far as
like
his behavior.
The K-Pax movie. Kevin Spacey was in that movie K-Pax where he played a fucking alien.
Right.
He's like a Draco reptilian, or maybe one of the, you know, other ones. I don't know. I'm part Draco. That's what I heard. I don't know if that's true. You know, my blood type is a positive. I don't have that Rh negative factor. I'm gonna eat spaghetti while you talk.
All right, sounds good. This is how we roll around here. By the way, I want to give some props to the network. They've been doing a good money corralling funds and donations. So please support the network, Eternal Affairs Media. And you can do that via PayPal or whatever. Of course, you can also donate to Dark Ducks as well. And we have DVDs of everything that is on our network. We pretty much just sell them for what they cost us to make and ship out to you. So order a bunch, give them to your friends, have hosting parties of all of this kind of stuff. But, yeah, that Nazi connection. I want to see, like, I mean, they're saying Nazi, but I don't see what, you know, they're just saying it. I want to see, like, you know.
Well,
like,
I saw a picture of his dad in a uniform, and he was like one of those SS guys, I think. I'm not sure, but he was wearing a uniform.
Oh.
It was a black and white picture, so.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Fox News, Randy Fowler claimed his father, who he called the creature, due to his depraved behavior, was a Nazi sympathizer who raped him over 50 times before the age of 14 years old. And that's the only time it mentions it. So that's the thing. It's like, he's saying that, okay, Nazi sympathizer, not a Nazi. That's a big difference. I mean,
yeah.
Some would argue. Difference, but I'm just saying, like, that's kind of clickbaity, in my opinion. I don't like that.
No, that's true.
You know, show me, where's the beef? You know, like, if you're going to say someone's a Nazi, I want to see something more than just, like, alleged, you know, and, okay, this is from Telegraph.UK. The man he described as a fanatical Nazi supporter whose home was filled with Third Reich memorabilia. Okay, that's more information. Fowler, who is a Rod Stewart impersonator. That's, you know, I knew a Rod Stewart impersonator.
Yes, he looks like him. That's what I was trying to think because his hair looks like Rod Stewart.
He said he was taken out of Cub Scouts by the father because the troop's leader was Jewish. And then that's all mentions on the Telegraph about it. So, okay, we're getting a little bit more information out of this.
But the head of the Boy Scouts is a pedophile because the guy Daniel Green on my friends list under Emmy Frost on Facebook, he's been writing all this stuff about on Patheos or whatever about his dad being the head of the Boy Scouts or, like, the president or something and how he's been, like, raping boys for, like, years.
Can you tell me more about that Patheos? I just started looking into that. What do you know about them?
I don't really know much. I don't particularly like a lot of the format that I've seen, like, people writing on there. I mean, there's a whole lot of other, like, websites that I think are a lot better. Is it, like, you know, ones that you use for, like, blogs and stuff, or, like, video blogs or vlogs or whatever they call them. But I can't think of one off the top of my head. My son writes a blog, and I can't remember the name of it now. But, I mean, that's something that I've actually wanted to do for a long time, is do, like, a blog or whatever. But I just didn't really know how to do it because I've not had any technology, really, or much technology in, like, the last 5 years because I went to prison for misuse of telecommunications device and all that. I was facing 20 years in prison. But, no, it all got dismissed. But, you know, it's rough up here in Pennsylvania. The laws are a lot different as they use the PA Constitution, not the U.S. Constitution in most of the cases. And you don't even have to be a lawyer to be a judge. Most of the judges here are ex-cops. Yeah, that's why everybody goes to jail if you're not white and rich. So.
Right. Yeah, I'm on this Patheos website for the first time. Okay, I get it. So it's like, you know, the tabs are like, you got belief, you got Buddhist, Catholic, contemplative, evangelical, general Christian, Hindu, Jewish, Mormon, Muslim, new visions. I don't know what that would be. Non-religious pagan. Progressive Christian, and then more voices. Then you got topics, entertainment, family, relationship, life. So, okay, like, it's just kind of like spiritual
there's
perspective.
There's a New Visions bookstore in York, and they sell, like, New Age stuff. Like, I got my tarot cards there, Tarot of the Elves. It's really cool, but yeah, I just thought I'd throw that in there because I took a hypnotherapy class there and I was going to take NLP, but I didn't. But that's a whole other story.
Definitely look more into NLP. My fiance, the drummer of Sacred Owls, she's actually a practitioner. Her whole family is into that, and it's such a wonderful thing. It's for those that don't know, NLP is neuro-linguistic programming.
Linguistic programming,
Yeah, and some people, you know, of course, like anything that's not, you know, the mainstream yada yada, they'll have something stupid to say because they don't know what they're talking about. But it's the real deal. It's just pretty much getting your mind to wrap around that you're in control. You're able to do all kinds of stuff that you don't even realize, you know, don't have no in your heart, pretty much. I mean, it's like how I can sum it up, that, you know, you can have the confidence and the will to overcome all kinds of things. Don't sell yourself short. And I think, you know, I've learned a lot from what I've read, what I've experienced, the conversation that I've had with the people in the NLP community. It's really a wonderful group, you know?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I've did a little bit of studying on my own on udemy.com. It's U-D-E-M-Y. And I was doing the life story coaching certificate program, and that's really interesting. And then I was taking a Master of Crystal Reiki course, but I started it a year ago and I never finished it, but, you know, that's something on my bucket list to finish. So, along with, like, going on the Euro Rail.
Yeah. So the definition is actually for neuro-linguistic programming, an approach to communication, personal development, and psychotherapy created by Richard Bandler and John Grinler of California, United States, 1970s. NLP's creators claim that there's a connection between neurological processes, language, and behavioral patterns learned through experience, and that these can be changed to achieve specific goals. So really, it is just more of a tool. I'd say a philosophy that is a tool. And anything from you're afraid of snakes and that's a problem in your life, well, there's a way around that. You don't always have to be afraid of snakes or arachnophobia or really any phobias or any things that might trigger you. This is a big thing in this, like, social justice warrior kind of trigger happy, ironic term for that, society where every little thing is like, ooh, that upset me, ooh, that triggered me, oh, I'm upset, ooh, that I'm depressed now, like what they call Trump derangement disorder, seeing someone with a MAGA hat, you start foaming at the mouth. You have control over all of that stuff. You have control over every single little thing that you take in. If you have post-traumatic stress disorder, you can work on things that, you know, help walk you towards, if you're willing, walk you towards not having those kinds of symptoms, walk you towards having more control over your emotional state, your physical state. It's all connected. When you're depressed and anxious and sad, it makes you sweat, it makes your hair itch, it gives you, like, gnarly smell and BO. You're changing your body chemistry from alkaline to acidic. I mean, it's all connected in this, you know, kind of biological, you know, chemistry lab of our bodies, and our minds is the one that's shooting out programs. Your mind is the one that's shooting out the executions and directives and if-thens that, you know, control everything, not just inside of your body, but what your body does, the outside things. And, I mean, I could go on and on, but definitely, if you haven't, listeners, please look into NLP, neuro-linguistic programming.
I think it could really help a lot of people, especially, you know, people fighting addictions or people who have, like, you know, mental health issues, because everyone goes through problems in life. I mean, nobody is excluded from, you know, whether it's alcoholism or drug addiction or, you know, sex addiction or gambling addiction or, you know, addiction to food or anorexia or, you know, eating disorders, cutting yourself. You know, a lot of these issues actually go all back to abuse in childhood, and a lot of it's childhood sexual abuse. So, you know, as far as NLP, I mean, I feel, with, you know, along with EMDR and tapping, you know, these are like techniques they use for, you know, sex abuse survivors and stuff like that. So a lot of that's, you know, going to be really helpful, I think.
Yeah. So I always short, but where I'm at, working and the I just got here. We have about 8 minutes on my laptop. Oh, no, it's
okay.
Black. Okay. Yeah, the call's going over. So, last words?
I just put a whole bunch of salt and vinegar chips in my mouth, Christian. But, oh, my God, I really wish I had a cigarette. But, no, I mean, this whole thing with Kevin Spacey, you know, it just really irks me because as an actor, I really liked, you know, his movies, like especially Horrible Bosses. I mean, he actually played like such good evil people because he is evil. You know what I mean? Like a lot of actors and stuff and actresses in movies, I mean, they're actually playing like their own selves, like how they are in real life. So if you meet like a famous person and they don't act the way that they, you know, act in the movies, like Anthony Michael Hall, like when I met him, he was the nicest guy ever, but he's always in the news for like beating up people and, oh, he's an alcoholic and he's bipolar and that's all fucking bullshit. Like mainstream media, you know, you can't believe a goddamn thing they fucking say. Because I met, well, actually, I named my son, my first son, after a kickboxing star named Sasha Mitchell. Now, Sasha Mitchell was in Kickboxer 2, took over for, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Now, he was all over, like, you know, Access Hollywood or Inside Edition or Current Affairs or whatever way back in the day for being a wife beater. And I actually friended him on Facebook years ago, and I told him that I named my son after him, and he was like, oh, I don't deserve that honor. And he told me the whole, like, story behind, like, his ex-wife and his kids and everything, and yeah, like he actually gave me a lot of good advice about life. And, you know, he's like, you are such a special person. You know, he's like, someday, you know, you're going to meet like the right guy. And like, he was giving me like relationship advice. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. But my friend, my other son's still friends with him on Facebook because I had to get rid of that other account because my ex-husband was like hacking into it all the time. And, you know, that's why, like, you know, somebody said I had 14 Facebook accounts. No, I've had to, like, get rid of them and, you know, not use technology because of spoofing and hacking and all that. So it's just, I don't know. So if your computer, if it's not working for, like, the longest time and you can't get the internet, it's not your internet provider. It's other people, it's the UFOs, it's the reptilians, no, whatever. But no, I mean, seriously, sometimes you just have to believe, you know, because a lot of people have lost faith, I think, in a lot of things, whether it's in relationships or, you know, just life in general, or they've, you know, left the church, or they never were, you know, religious, or they were atheists, or whatever. You know, it's just, I think that, you know, as far as God and, you know, church and all that, I mean, it's good to have something to believe in, but I don't believe in, like, forcing other people to, you know, follow, you know, a certain religion or a certain church or whatever, because the church, you know, I feel begins with yourself. And, like, you know, and I'm not talking about, like, your house, or I mean, it could be your own house, but, you know, you got to believe in something. And the first thing, you know, you got to believe in is yourself. And that's, you know, where I've always believed in myself. And, but then I always end up back to where I was, you know, from the start, like the cycle, you know, like abuse, cycle of abuse, because I'm an incest survivor, a rape survivor, and a survivor of domestic violence, domestic terrorism, you know, a lot of things, sexual torture and satanic ritualistic abuse by the church and my family. And, you know, just, it's, you know, I did my last two shows with you about SRA, and, you know, it's that term in itself I don't like, because when you say satanic and, you know, you talk about Bohemian Grove.
If you find value in these broadcasts, please invest in your education and sanity at Eternal Affairs Media and darkdocs.com.
We hope the information you received was beneficial to your quest for truth and justice. Please visit us online at darkdocs.com to download shows, movies, other podcasts, PDF documents, music, and much more for free. No advertisements, no sign up, no terms of use, no censorship, no control. This is information warfare. This is the end of the transmission.